Jose, so my name's David. So I've been a volunteer speaker for Compassion for 2 or 3 years now. But as I said to you earlier, many years ago, my journey with Compassion started in the 1990s. And then I've sponsored children along the way. That first one, having the opportunity to go to Guatemala. And then when my family was growing up, well, I managed to sponsor, as my daughters got a certain age, we then picked up a couple of girls in the Philippines and sponsored them at the same age, and therefore the writing of letters kind of worked out together. Like once my daughters could write, there was all that communication between the two. And then managed to, fortunately, to go to the Philippines as well to see the children out there. So I'm rushing through more because I don't have so much time to talk today. So that's briefly my story. As I say, it's an on and off journey with Compassion. And I've been to New Wine and to one or two other events to support the work of Compassion. So, the biggest thing that we can say from Compassion when we come to speak to you is thank you. And as I said earlier, if it wasn't for the work of yourselves, forking out £32 a month, or donating, or whatever you do, Compassion wouldn't be able to exist. You know, over 80% of every bit of sponsorship per child is goes towards the work of the director to the child's project, and there's obviously all the other finances involved in running the organisation as well. Direct gifts that you give, like for a birthday or whatever, all of that money goes to the family where you've decided to give it. But the biggest thing I always like to say to people is thank you. I'm not a salesperson. I'm not one of these people who'll come up to you in the street and give you a flyer saying, you must sponsor this child called Trust. I think she's one on the table at the back. I've got children between 1 and 11, and there's five of them, five children. Now, if you feel really inspired after our time this morning, and you do want to take on another child, brilliant. You know, we're always grateful when we turn up to a church and people sponsor children. But I'm here more to say thank you for what you already do. It is a real privilege, really, for us to have you working. It's a partnership between the people who sponsor and people who donate, and also the work of Compassion. So we're very, very grateful. Have the next slide, please. As I mentioned earlier, I think it was Reverend Swanson was his name. You know, the history of Compassion goes back a long way, back to this gentleman from the, I think he's with the American forces, Padre or whatever. And in the end of the Korean War, seeing the challenges out there for children, and that's how the work of Compassion started. And that's 1952. And as I mentioned earlier, back in the 1990s, Compassion wasn't working directly in the UK, specifically having its own office and stuff like that. It was in partnership with Tear Fund. But then in 2000, we set up our own office, and now, you know, we're doing, as we are leading in two or three other countries where we have offices, for up to 2.3 plus million children being sponsored worldwide. So, 412 million. Okay, so 412 million what? Children worldwide in extreme poverty. That's a lot of children, isn't it? Imagine. Population of the UK is 70 odd million. So what's that? 4, 7, 5, 7, 6, 7 is 42. That's 6 times the population of the UK of children in poverty. So let me just get the right figures to get it right for you. Yeah, this is from the UNICEF. Every day, 412 million children wake up in extreme monetary poverty, surviving on less than $3 a day. And that's what Compassion are trying to do. They're trying to help those children in extreme poverty. So I don't know if any of you have actually been to the project in Uganda, or you're involved with the other countries and you've been out to see the work going on. But it's not like we, Compassion, will choose just this child or that child. We're always working through the local church. And that's the big thing about Compassion, maybe compared to other charities which are doing just as good work. But we're working through the church. And we know that they are seeking to find the most needy people in their community, needy children in their community, who will benefit from sponsorship. And then the children get brought on board into the project, and then we'll go out looking for sponsors for them. But that's a lot of children living in poverty. Now, I think we'd all agree we have poverty in the UK, yes? We have a food bank, I think, we support from the back there. But if there is a difference, poverty is relative, and I'm sure you'd all agree with that. The poverty in Wellington might be different to the poverty in Oswestry, near where I live. Or it might be different to some poverty in Liverpool. Though even within our own country, poverty is relative. And it's the same with the worldwide poverty. We can see pictures, and if you've been to some of these countries, you'll know that our poverty isn't actually the same as their poverty, the slums. Take Haiti, for example. I sponsor a child with a group of us at church in Haiti. Now, if you know anything about Haiti at the minute, you'll know that up to about 90% of Port-au-Prince, the capital, is controlled by gang violence. I don't have that in Oswestry. And no doubt that adds to the poverty. Fortunately, the child I sponsor is at the north of Haiti, or the child that our group sponsors, and therefore they're not suffering so much from the violence. But when you actually look and see, and you do investigations into where the country where your child is, you begin to understand the extreme poverty of where the children are coming from that Compassion are trying to reach. So nobody's going to say poverty is bad in the UK. It isn't. Of course it is. But when we consider extreme poverty and the kind of figures that UNICEF are talking about, I think we're talking about poverty on another level. And until you see it and you go there, then you begin to understand what it's really like. So, you know, we're grateful. 29 countries are where we work. And as I say, places like Myanmar, you know, and some of these countries are really challenging. So all I can say is thank you very much for what you do. Next slide, please. Okay, so four of your children in Uganda, and they're connected with this project. And you can see that each picture there shows different activities that are going on at the project, whether they're writing letters or eating meals. Can I just have a show of hands? Has anybody actually been to this project in Uganda? No? Okay, fair enough. Right. I didn't know whether maybe you had been. But Compassion have actually put this slide in because we're calling it Your Church's Project because of where four of your children are actually involved. The writing of letters is key, you know. Other charities do very good work. But what we have, much from that Christ-centred focus of a charity, is those writing of letters. Letter writing is key, right? You build up that relationship with the children. And I would encourage you to continue to do that if you're one of the families who sponsor. Yeah? That relationship that you build up with the children is key. And of course, the pictures also highlight some of the other things that Compassion are trying to do. It's a holistic approach to the well-being of a child. You talk about safeguarding here, don't you? The holistic approach to looking after our children as parents, we have, or Compassion has, a holistic approach to supporting the children in the project, whether it be spiritual, educational, etc. Next slide, sir. So you can see what it says. We're proud of our participants for learning income-generating skills such as garment design and tailoring that will help support them and their families in the future. So, you know, you can start trust at the back, there's one. Okay, so you could start sponsoring a child who's one, right? You don't have to, I'm not asking anybody to sponsor any children today because I'm here to say thank you. I started sponsoring a young man who's now at university and started a year ago, and he was 18. So we mustn't think that sometimes child sponsorship is just about young children, because it isn't. There are older children maybe who've only just joined the project or had a previous sponsor and they've had to leave, who can also get supported. And the child can stay as a young person in the project maybe even up to the age of 22. So I'm still sponsoring my Andres, he's called. I'm still sponsoring him. He's at university now in Colombia, and I'm going to be sponsoring him all the way to the end of his time at university education. So you can have a very long and successful, if you like, in inverted commas, relationship with children if you do it for such a long period of time. And clearly, we're trying to support young people into employment and skills as much as anything else. Thank you. This is your impact. I'll just let you take those figures on board and see the kind of impact you've had as a church. I think the last point is really key, isn't it? Because if we were just a bog standard organisation that just went off and, you know, did lots of things, but we actually forgot that there's a God in the world and that there's a Bible we can read and all this kind of stuff, if the children didn't actually get that spiritual input, you might think, what would be the point? Do you remember what Jesus said about what we gain the whole wide world, yet lose our soul? And we can gain all the wonderful riches in the whole world, but actually, if you don't have that spiritual element, you're going to ask, why am I doing it? So, we have that. Yes, we have an holistic approach, but we can be really see the real importance that the Bible, the gospel, and a number of our children become Christians. I have no idea of the 2.3 plus million children and young people how many have become Christians. But I do know, and you can look on their website and look on YouTube, and you can get people, graduates who've gone through the program, talking about how they became a Christian through the work of compassion. So the gospel is right there in the centre. Letter writing. So I mentioned that earlier. Building up that relationship with the children is vital. I would encourage you to keep your letter writing. Always send your letters. Because if it wasn't for your letters, you know, you don't know the circumstances always where the children are coming from, and sometimes you're like another parent to them. So this is Lily Lee, for example, who we sponsor in Haiti, and she's very young, and we've got things like, it's written on behalf of somebody else, her support person at the project. She greets you in the name of Jesus Christ. How are you and your family? She's doing very well, thanks to God. Her school activities are going well. She asks you to help her pray to stay healthy. So those are the kind of comments. I think she's five. So just to give you an idea. And for a number of children, having the letter, they treasure them. They go out and they might, you know, read them, or they store them in a box or something like that. So, and you can see how proud that girl is for the photograph of the letter. So I would encourage you to keep writing your letters. 21 sent and 44 from the children. All I can encourage you is if you think I'm not doing more enough with the letter writing, and you know what's going to happen here, I'm going to run out of time. Can we finish church at 12 o'clock today? No, because my roast is in the oven. I can't stay that long. Well, it might be. I have no idea. But, you know, how many of you have got the Compassion app? One, two, right, three. Okay. Do you write your letters on the Compassion app? How useful do you think the app is?
Wonderful. Very good.
Wonderful, very good. Okay. You can still do it on paper. You can still do it the traditional way. You can go onto, you can sign onto your account online. But if you do have the app, you can be standing in the queue at Tesco's or wherever. You can be, you know, wherever, and you can write your letter, and it can be really quick. You can upload three photographs now, which I did a letter to Andres recently. I thought, oh, you could add three pictures. It only used to be one. So I would encourage you to get the app. If you're one of the families involved and you don't have the app, I would encourage you to get it. Because it's got lots of other information on about your child, and loads of things you can pray about, information about other things Compassion are doing. But I would encourage you to write the letters. And because we have our mobile phones and we've got access to technology, you know, when I started in the 1990s with the letter writing, or my wife did it actually, it took weeks for it to get there. And I wrote a letter to Andres. You can follow the route of your letter on the app. You write it one day and it's there in the same day. But that's Colombia and this is the UK. So that's what the benefit of the internet has done for an organisation like Compassion. you know, your letters get there so quicker. And even when you do them on paper, they'll turn up on your phone a few days later because Compassion will have scanned them in and you'll be able to see them on your phone on the app as well. So I would really, really, really encourage you to keep writing your letters. If nothing else, go away from today thinking, I'm going to go and write a letter this afternoon. Because, you know, pictures, talk about whatever. There's guidance on the Compassion website if you're not sure how to write letters. And you can always talk to those people who are doing it a lot. And keep praying for your children. Can we have the next slide, please? There they are. Now, I don't know all the names. In fact, I know none of the names. But hopefully you do. Have you recognised them? The one is your one up there? Should be.
Yes.
You've got three of them. Oh, right. Well, they should all be on there. There's tens in there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And I don't know which country's which. You can probably tell from people's images and stuff like that, which country they might be from, which ones are from Africa, which ones are from Bolivia, etc. But, you know, if you want to increase that number, be my guest to come and look at the children we've got on the table there. But, you know, I'm just grateful, and we're really grateful for what you do. And I keep saying that because we are. Keep praying for your children. Keep praying for your countries. Barnabas saying, open doors. Other organisations will let you know what's going on beneath the surface of what we see in the media in general in these countries. Do we really know what's going on in these countries? Why do we need to know? So that we can pray for them. You know, I look at Colombia and think, oh yeah, they've got drug cartels and all these guerrilla groups and they're fighting each other. They're trying to have peace agreements and is it really working? Or I've got in Haiti, I've got 90% of the capital, you know, gun violence and gangs and the United Nations sending another group of soldiers in to try and do this, that and the other. I can pray about it. So I would just, that's just an encouragement, just try to encourage you to write letters and to keep praying, not only for the projects, but for the countries. Just pictures of the relative kind of neighbourhoods where your children would be. And many graduation stories you can find on YouTube to inspire you to watch. And, you know, you can see, you can, Ronnie may be talking on YouTube about how Compassion gave him hope and the ability to dream. And sometimes if it wasn't for the sponsor, some of these children would have no hope. That's what the sponsorship can do. You don't know what kind of broken backgrounds and families the children are in. And what you're doing there is you're bringing in love, care, concern, compassion. So thank you very much for what you do. Do you want me to stop there?
It's up to you.
Oh, okay. Anytime you roast dinners there are stuck in the oven and they can't get home, they complain to David because he went on too long and my roast dinner was burnt. So, what is compassion? Can you just have a very quick 30 seconds to the person sitting next to you and tell that person what you think compassion is? Okay, that was roughly in the ballpark figure of 30 seconds. Caring, being concerned, supporting other people, going out of your way, giving up on your own things for others. Maybe some of those were talked about when you talked about compassion. I wrote down on the notes that I lost, actually, before I ran back to my car to try and look for them, being bothered, you know? Being bothered about other people, not just myself. And surely we sang this morning about God being compassionate. Well, we'll come back to that in a minute. But obviously compassion does mean something to each of us, doesn't it? Why are we compassionate?
Another thing about compassion in Africa, in particular, is not just the handouts, but actually getting them to work and develop themselves. I certainly looked after 10 million Africans, and that's what we did.
Well, you're right there, because you know what, it's about whether you give the person the fish or the fishing rod to actually help them get the fish out of the lake. It's that kind of idea, isn't it? And you'll quite often find, thank you, sir, you'll quite often find that compassion graduates, what do they want to do? They want to go back to their projects to get involved because they were helped so much. So a similar kind of thing about helping and developing their communities. So compassion. And obviously there are many things. I've talked about a holistic approach for the organisation. That's what they try to be. All the things you would have mentioned and more. Really being bothered about the needs of the most needy children in the world. And yes, we can't do everybody, but at least we can make a difference to some. And we find that not just a child in a project will benefit, but then the family will benefit, and then you can read up about how a whole community will benefit from those children being sponsored. So the question is, how do we know actually that God is compassionate? So we sang about it earlier, didn't we? And actually it was interesting because that actually came from another verse I was thinking about, one of the Psalms, was, didn't God actually declare that he was compassionate? We sang about it in that first song. Well, he did, didn't he? Because Moses asked to see God, didn't he? And God says, well, you're not going to be able to see my face, but I'll pass before you. And God then did what he said in that song. He declared that he is compassionate. So we know God has declared that he is compassionate. So that's Exodus 34, if anybody wants to turn to it. And what does God say? Obviously a slightly different version to yours. I've got the ESV. So the Lord passed before Moses and said, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast last for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who by no means bear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And in other versions, I think the NIV maybe it says compassion. So God has actually declared himself to be compassionate. And we saw in the Deuteronomy 10 passage that I got you to read earlier, that God there was talking about his compassion of choosing one nation out of the whole of the world. Why on earth did he choose the Jewish nation? It wasn't exactly the greatest and most wonderful nation at that point, Abraham, but God decided to show his love and compassion and concern. And then he talked about having compassion on the widow, etc. So we know God is compassionate. What did Jesus do at the beginning of the feeding of the 4,000 and the feeding of the 5,000? We can read in our Bible and say, and he had compassion on them. So God declares himself to be compassionate. Jesus says, I'm compassionate. I'm seeing their need. I'm going to feed those. Remember, it wasn't just 5,000 men. There was all the women and children as well. So it might be 10,000 people who were fed. When we say 5,000, 4,000, there's clearly more people than that there. An amazing miracle, an amazing compassion that Jesus had. And if we really want convincing about God being compassionate, we need to look at ourselves, don't we? Right? What should convince us more than anything else? That the creator of the world, who sustains all of this, remember at the beginning of the Hebrews, it talks about Jesus sustaining all things by the power of his word. Imagine what the world would be like, and we know we think there's many problems in the world, and there are, but just imagine what it would be like if God took his sustaining hand away and there was no restrictions on anything. The time before the flood, if we think about that and what the world was like, and what God decided to do then was destroy the whole world in a flood. This time he's done something different. He's shown immense compassion and care for all of us by sending his son. That, I personally couldn't see a greater act of compassion than somebody dying on a cross for my salvation. And I hope those of you who are believers here today really think that too. that somebody, God himself, died on a cross and suffered. I mean, can you imagine what it's like to die on a cross? I couldn't. Horrendous punishment technique that the Romans came up with. And it wasn't just the nails, it was all the other stuff going on with it as well. And then Jesus rose again. It wasn't just that. If it was just about Jesus doing that and that's it, what does Paul say? We'd be pitied among all men. And yet, he rose again. So for me, that should make us all think that we have a God of compassion because of all the things we said, but especially because Jesus died and suffered and rose again for our salvation. Hope for heaven? That's what we have in our belief. Or if not, hell, destruction awaits us. So, compassion are trying to do a really, really good work and really grateful. We're really grateful. They're really grateful for what you do in supporting it. We can see that God is compassionate. Compassionate to the point where his son would die and suffer for the sins of us. So what are we going to do? What do we do in response to all of that? Well, obviously, clearly, compassion feel very strongly that they are following in Jesus' footsteps and being compassionate to over 2.3 million children in the world. But what about us? Here's some scriptures just to finish off to get you thinking. So this is Deuteronomy 10. 12 and 13. To wear my glasses, sorry. So actually, 12 and 13, when in that passage we read earlier, what does the Lord require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, and to serve him all your soul? Yes, he was speaking directly to the Israelites. At that point, we mustn't take the verse out of context, but we can relate it obviously to stuff in the New Testament where God says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. And clearly, he told the Israelites that he executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner, the sojourner. They had to do it too. So, shouldn't we be compassionate to other people because God has been compassionate to us? Micah 6:8. The passage we read earlier, the other passage. I think that's very telling. I don't know if anybody have heard of a singer called Rob Halligan. Anybody? He does a good song on this one. What does the Lord require of you? What does he require of us? It wasn't to bring loads and loads of sacrifices. Actually, this is what he requires. And he has told you, oh man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and walk humbly with your God. We know if we're believers, it's about putting God first. And as a result of putting God first, we know then that, you know, we could not be compassionate on other people. And just finally, to finish with the fact that in James, faith without deeds is dead. So that gets us thinking too. If we say we have faith, but we don't actually go out and act on it, the Bible talks about our faith being dead. So, thank you very much for listening. And thank you again for what you do for compassion and your support. And, you know, if you want to sponsor another child, I've got 5 on the table. If you want to come and talk to me more afterwards, that's great too. And thank you again for all that you do.